Fresh Takes. Welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Customs Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Brandon, hello.
Hello.
I gotta adjust it. I feel weird not being in the middle of the screen. All right, here we are. I don't know if I'm in the middle of your screen, but Invincible.
Yeah,
I said the thing. I should have just paused.
Yeah. Just jump right into it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Invincible Season 3 premiere. Three episodes. We have three episodes to dive into. We're going to do this a little bit differently than like last Fresh Takes. Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here. We're not really going to go through it bit by bit. I feel like it's just a lot to get through, especially for a whole three episodes. But we're going to just kind of talk generally how we feel about this, do some segments, talk about the future episodes, and that's going to be it. Before we get into it, though, I do want to say, for everybody who listened to your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man review, I apologize. I totally uploaded a track that had three tracks all in one. I don't know how it happened, but for those who checked it out on YouTube, thank you very much. It is now uploaded again, so if you watch Spider-Man, you want to hear my thoughts on it, it is... One track is uploaded. You can hear what I am saying rather than three of me trying to talk at once, and a lot of them are just repeating the same stuff.
It's kind of cool, though.
No, not really. I'm not going to give it any credit.
It's the Council of Jakes discussing.
It's like the voices in my head. They're just replaying the same thought over and over and over again, but all at once. More or less what it is. All right, season three, Brandon, the premiere. How are you feeling about this premiere?
Just like every other premiere, I'm hyped. I'm ready to see where it goes.
It was a lot. So this is one of my first questions, and I won't get into the segment right away, but like Kirkman made a statement prior to this season that season three was just going to be a season full of bangers. That every episode could be a finale of sorts. And I'm not going to dive into the question, which is like, is he right about it? But like, I felt the intensity of these first three episodes. And like, it kind of just goes right into it. But I think the first thing that we realized, and I think if you paid attention to the trailers, it makes sense. There's a time skip. Good. I don't think it's stated, but I think it's about a 10-month time skip. Mark's a lot stronger.
Yeah,
that's like the
first.
Yep. Mark's a lot stronger. He's just focusing on building up. He has a superhero team. He's constantly training. He's constantly fighting. You can see that like his mom's moved on. She's now trying to date her colleague.
Yeah, I think someone, it's the guy that she works with, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what his name is, but yeah. Oliver is a lot older. He is now essentially like a 10-year-old, somewhere along there. He's essentially Robin. Like, that's, I think we can just agree that, like, he is more or less what Robin would be. A very similar storyline to, like, Superboy, the actual son of Superman, where, like, in the comics he was a baby and then all of a sudden he just, like, grew up because of some comic book explanation. Yeah, it just like really feels like that's what they were going for with this, and it's straight out of the comic book too. It's, and you know, it was explained that he's going to grow up very rapidly, and 10 months from toddler to adolescent boy, like damn, he's
very rapid. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So the first episode is all about kind of like the aftermath of like Angstrom Levy, and meeting Anissa, right? It's all ramping up for the next person to come in, the next Viltrumite to come and threaten the world. Mark is preparing for it. After all of it, Donald kind of does like a, you know, he's 180% stronger. He's 600 times faster. Or, you know, it's just a bunch of numbers that literally does not like make sense to us because we don't really
mean anything, but it sounds good.
Yeah, but like you could see, like, okay, he's lifting like giant ass icebergs. He's like, he's, I think like the first scene was him and the child Titan. I remember.
Yeah, fighting, yeah.
And I just remember like Sapphire, while we were watching, my wife, she's just like, who is that again? I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's the person that the Guardians of the Globe was trying to fight, and they were all struggling when Mark was gone on one of his excursions. And now, like, I think this is his their way of showing that, like, Mark can take on issues that other people cannot single-handedly. Like, and even, and I'm like,
absolutely.
And immediately when I saw this, I'm like, they're training. It's a training exercise. I don't know if it's just ADHD, like, traits, or if they were, I don't know if it was very clear. I think they were trying to make it seem like he was talking again, but I'm like, no, this feels like a training exercise. And of course.
Yeah, I got that vibe, yeah.
And of course, like, they're like, well, I don't, the parents are very concerned. He is only 8 after all. It's like, ooh. That kind of sets the tone of, like, ethically speaking, it's very gray. Were you expecting this conversation of ethics?
I mean, I had a feeling that that was kind of the stuff we were going to start to get into. I mean, they've been building up to it. I mean, you primered me a little bit. And they were building up to it, too, as far as, like, with Mark, you know, stopping all these people, but then Cecil putting him to work in the background without telling him. And he's like, lock him up and throw away the key. And so I was wondering when it was going to come to a boiling point at some point when Mark figured out what was going on.
The episode kind of starts with Mark and Rex, and they're fighting two thieves, Dropkick and Fight Master, presumably from the future. I remember them showing up, but I don't remember like what their importance was.
From the future. Yeah, and they were trying to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
And I think they did steal the Declaration of Independence. They did. Yeah.
I love the joke too. Mark's like, Mom, no, he's like, Anne, how important is the Declaration of Independence? And her response is just like, just very casual. Go ask your brother.
Yeah.
And then his mom's like, this is why you should have stayed in college. So you know what the Declaration of Independence is. And it's like, Jesus, do Gen Z kids not know this type of stuff?
What the Declaration of Independence is, yeah.
Like, I'm generally concerned if, like, kids know this. And I work at a school. I work at an elementary school.
Start asking people, pulling them.
Some of these kids are very smart.
Always. Hey, do you know what the Declaration of Independence is?
Just asking random 8-year-olds if they know what the Declaration of Independence is. Yeah, like, I have some grace with 8-year-olds. Mark, not so much.
He's not 8 years old.
No, he's like 20, and it's like, you should, like, what kind of question is that? But I don't know. I think it just, it's a fair question. Like, he's kind of like Goku in that regard. You know, there's like, Goku's freaking dumb as a brick. Not to insult any Dragon Ball Z fans. Like, he's
dumb.
Like, that's his dumb stat. That's his dumb stat, you know? And, like, he doesn't. Like, Mark doesn't need to know the importance of the Declaration of Independence to say, but, like, it's also, like, that's, like, the main thing to learn in civics or history or anything to do with, like, politics.
Right, history, yeah.
It's like, that's, like,
kind of the start of it all.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, so they're fighting. Rex and him is talking. And, like, it's just such a casual conversation. Like, these could you just imagine being a villain going against these heroes? And you're just like, all right, we're going to kick. They're here. It's like the fight of their life. You know, it's like their moment, their pinnacle. It reminds me of Across the Spider-Verse. You probably still haven't watched it, have you? You really should, man. It's elite level Spider-Man.
At this point, I'm just waiting for the last part to come out.
Dude, you will be waiting forever at this point. It's not good news. Like, it was supposed to come out, like, a year or two ago. Like, it was supposed to come out the March afterwards. Like, no, it's not happening. I think they even replaced the director, and I'm really scared for the project because it's, like, it's just so good. But, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to finish it with that, like, greatness. Anyway, there was a point in Across the Spider-Verse where, like, Miles was going against the Spot. and the spot was like, oh, my villain or like my hero, my nemesis, like me and you, like people will be talking about this. And he's just like, yeah, can we wrap this up? I gotta go. Like I'm late for a meeting. And then like he ditches him like halfway through the fight because he just like webs him up, and then of course he escapes, and that like that's part of that movie. But like this is what this scene reminds me of, is just like these heroes aren't taking these guys seriously. And he's like, and then like, should we like actually focus on the fight? He's like, they're normal people. And like he just lets him punch him. Spat pat pat. Yep, they're normal. But I think it shows like Mark's like he's holding back the entire time. And I
Oh,
thought
yeah.
season two was so interesting because like it's all about him holding back. And like he didn't really, he wasn't free. He wasn't be able to be strong until he let go. And like they really continued that through this like season three premiere, is he holds back, which almost limits him.
It does limit him.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, Multipulse shows up. Well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Rex is just like, hey, you should date Adam Eve. Like, out of the blue, is like, what are you doing? It's been, you're ghosting her. It's been months. He's like, well, I'm busy. And if feel, this is one of my questions too, is it kind of just came out of the blue. There wasn't a whole lot of buildup.
Yeah, well, I mean, like they've been teasing their relationship the whole time, but yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, now they're gonna do it. Because we left at like the cliffhanger last season or whatever, when he was gonna say something, but then he didn't say something. So
It
yeah,
just
just kind of like, all right, let's get this over with.
feels weird because it's like it's been months. Like after 10 months, you're like, "Hey, you should date the girl that you're ghosting." And you're like,
Why now?
and like that's the motivation. Like Rex gives him the go ahead, and he's just like, "Oh yeah, she still exists." Like it just feels weird, like from Mark's perspective, and like that's how it is in the comics too. It's just like there's this month skip, and they're just like, "Hey, you should go do this thing." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I should go do this thing." But also, I feel like that is kids, and Mark is still very much like a kid. Multipole shows up, he kicks the crap out of Rex. Mark's just like, "Okay, I can't save Rex unless I start just murdering all these Pauls and just slaughters all the
That's what he
Pauls."
does.
And then out of nowhere, Malte Kate shows up, his sister, to stop him.
Yeah, that was brutal. He's just like ripping out spines and stuff. Like, that was a scene. It's just like, okay, I guess he's not as limited as he seemed. Because, I mean, yeah, he's like, Paul is still alive, but like, we've been through this that he did just murder all those copies of him.
He feels everything. Did I know Kate has like talked about like how she feels when she gets murdered, and like that's the reason why she's dating Immortal, because like that's the only other person outside her brother that like understands her. I don't think Mark ever heard that side of the story.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I give him a little bit of grace, because I feel like in his mind it's like it's whatever, like I'm just killing copies, I'm not killing them. But the fact is, like, he experienced every single one of those deaths. He gets brutally murdered like 20, 30 times in that moment. Also, the idea of like the multi-Paul, multi-Kate, like the fact that like that's a scary power if you're somewhat normal. Because unless you can kill like a lot of those copies quickly, like
They're
that's
gonna
actually,
overwhelm you.
yeah. It's very overwhelming. It's like getting like it's like if you're fighting 100 lions or something. You know, maybe you can fight one lion. You know, if you're superpower, you maybe can fight five, but 100 at once? Tough
The
luck.
numbers eventually, yeah, eventually they catch up to you.
And that's a it's a devastating power, which like Multicate is pretty strong. Like, yeah, she's just a level, like if we're doing like D&D, like she's just a level one, level three, or whatever it is. But it's like, yeah, once you stack like hundreds or even like dozens, it gets very challenging really quickly.
Absolutely.
Going into it, Doc Seismic comes back, and he comes back in a weird way because it's this whole time Cecil and Donald are kind of Donald's just like, hey, all this seismic stuff is happening. Like, there's a lot of earthquakes, a lot of tunnels. Like, something's happening underground. And Cecil's just like, yeah. Tell me when it's like actually a problem.
Yep.
And they're like, focus, like, is Doc Seismic still in prison? Yep, he's still in prison. He's just, doing a weird meditation thing. No worries. And then the other thing is, Oliver gets his powers.
Yep. He finds, well, yeah, we find out he had his powers. He might have had them for a little bit.
Yep, and everyone's like surprised. I love like Oliver's so he's so deceptive. He's such a like he uses deceptive tech like techniques often. The whole like, hey, if I have my powers, I can train with you, right? I can be a superhero. It's like, yes, when you get your powers, you promise? Promise. Okay, let me show you.
Yep. Oh, got him.
Yes. Aha, you promised. You thought it
Yep.
wasn't gonna happen, and here it is. Omni Boy is here. I know it's Kid Omni
Kid
Man now.
Omni-Man.
I know.
Yeah.
In my head, it's Omni Boy. It's always been Omni Boy. Just like it's Angstrom
Sure.
Levy, not Levy. It's
Sure,
Levy.
sure. Sure.
But yeah, this leads to Doc Seismic coming back. And Doc Seismic came back strong. Like, what was your thoughts on the whole Doc Seismic situation?
I mean, I guess having like a whole underground army of crazy subterranean monsters seems pretty powerful.
I'm like curious because I don't know if they explain this in the comics. Because I'm just like, how did he orchestrate this in prison?
Without his bracelets. I thought that was the whole thing. Yeah, I was confused about that too.
And it seems like my guess is he somehow has the ability to like, could like communicate through his hands. Like he has a power of communication through vibrations, and was
Yeah.
somehow orchestrating a whole like his whole army because he can touch underground.
Yeah, maybe like from using the bracelet so much, he like was able to feel what he is. So even though he can't make like earthquakes without them, he could still like communicate through those vibrations. That's got to be it.
What'd you thought about the power aspect? The fact that like he not only like broke out, he broke out, captured every single superhero like immediately. Invincible comes in with Adam Eve, who just talked about their relationship. And then like Invincible, his punches does shit.
Yep. Yeah, it was surprising. I mean, there's definitely it was a numbers thing too. Like if it just would have been like one of those monsters, you probably could have taken it. But yeah, when you add, umpteen of them plus all the other things down there crawling around,
So they get
it
all
adds
ca
up.
yeah, so they get all captured. And it shocked me in the comics too, because it was like one issue, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Doc Seismic? Doc
It happens
Seismic?
very fast,
It
yeah.
happens very fast. Everyone gets captured, and they're like, okay, no, they're all gonna die. And then out of nowhere, Cecil's like, fuck. Send in all the backup plans, the Creatures Commandos, the.
Reanimen,
Yeah,
yeah.
like, let's give in the B team,
And
let's do it.
Darkwing.
Darkwing and Reanimen shows up. Reanimen are just strong as fuck, taking things down like crazy.
Yeah,
And
tearing it apart, yeah.
then there goes, everyone's saved, but one person in particular isn't happy.
Yeah, he's very not happy.
And Mark is pissed off. He goes after Cecil, and Cecil goes into the White Room, and it starts becoming a brawl. And this is where we get into episode two. And I kind of just want to roll through it, and we'll get into our questions, because I realize there's overlap, because I don't want to get into the depths of it, but I want to put everything out there while we discuss it. Episode two, A Deal with the Devil. The first episode was called You're Not Laughing Now, which is Doc Seismic. All, you're not laughing at me now. I'm not no villain of the week, even though he technically was. He just almost won.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he just almost did it.
Deal with the Devil, and then You Want a Real Costume, right? That's the third episode. So in this episode number two, it's all about how Cecil become director of the GDA. And I don't remember if the story was really talked about too much in the comics. It might have been, but it was never like a big thing. And I didn't really expect it to be like, I was kind of surprised with it. It was like almost like new information for me, or at least information that I didn't remember. So it was really nice to see like Cecil's motivations and seeing like Cecil becoming Cecil. Cecil essentially kind of having Mark's philosophy a lot.
Same moral dilemma with the situation, yeah.
And, like, throughout the flashback, you see, I forget the exact, like, what happened, but he kind of, like,
he tries to stop that bomb, or he does stop that, like, dirty bomb from going off.
Yes.
But he gets all his skin melted off in the process.
Oh, right.
Gets a new skin suit, but keeps the little bit of scar tissue on his face, because it was the only skin of his that survived. So we learn why he's got the scars. And then he ends up running into those two criminals or whatever. He sees them, like, in the hallway of the GDA, and he's like, what are they doing here? And he's like, oh, we put them to work. They're too useful just to throw away the key.
Yeah.
And he shoots them right there.
Right. Yep. Thank you for reminding me.
And then they throw him in prison. Yep. For 3 years.
He goes to prison, and then the director was like, I'm stepping down, and I want you to come and work.
Take over.
This was you being retooled. Like, you weren't just thrown away. We were having you work. Now you run this prison. This prison's a lot more efficient because you're in charge now.
Safer.
And I want you to be the man. I kind of like that story. I kind of hate it a little bit because I'm like, that's such a human right. Like, it's very unethical. Very
manipulative, yeah.
Very manipulative. But also, like, it makes sense. You get it.
Mm.
And so this whole episode was essentially Mark and Cecil showdown. Right. And it shows how formidable, like, Cecil can be with all the technology he has. The teleportation, the reanimum, the fact that he has that whistle, the kaiju sound. And it's a freaking battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have...
Forces him to play all of his trump cards.
Mm-hmm. I hate that word, but yep.
Yeah.
So Mark flies off. Cecil's trying to follow him with the teleportation, which it feels like a lost cause. Because, like, Mark's so fast. Like, how do you teleport ahead just so you can see a blur and then immediately have to teleport just to keep up?
Yep.
He goes to Guardians of the Globe, the random mountain in the middle of nowhere, it seems like. And basically asks for their help, and it becomes this dilemma
through the ceiling.
Yeah, and it becomes this huge dilemma between the Guardians of the Guardians of the Globe and Invincible / Cecil, and it becomes this, like, hey, this guy has a thing in my ear, and Cecil, like, stand down, listen to me, you know, like, I'm the authority here, I'm the one in charge. Mark's acting insane. And this entire time, Cecil is still trying to talk him down, which I think is something that needs to be reminded. He is talking him down, but also very acting extreme and very authoritarian in the moment.
Yeah. But, I mean, he does say there's that part where, you know, he brings him in or whatever, and he's like, you're scaring the shit out of me right now, talking to Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is, like, that is fair. He knows what Mark can do.
Yeah. Plus, like,
training him.
He was raised by Omni-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he could do. He's trained by Omni-Man. He doesn't know if he could get pushed over the edge. Like, he saw what happened with Angstrom. You push him over the edge, he will do it. And he's had those moments, you know, recently too.
Yep.
So there was a whole thing. They fight in front of everybody. The Guardians kind of have Mark's back. And it becomes, you know, Mark, Cecil, they have their moment. He basically says, I'm done working for you. If you come near my family, I will murder you. I will kill you.
Yep.
And the Guardians split. Half of them go with Mark. Half of them choose to stay and be Guardians of the Globe. And then I believe the split is Monster Girl, Rex, Ray, Bulletproof, and Robot. They split through their own team. And then Kate, Lock Sampson, Shapesmith, along with Immortal, they stay with the Guardians.
Stay with the GDA. Yeah.
And then this is where we get to episode 3. This is the non-kind of Cecil episode, so to speak. Because I feel like the first two was all about Cecil being the antagonist. Mm. You get Adam Eve, Mark. Adam Eve moves back home, not using power. You know, they do that whole thing. I'm kind of just reading off.
With their parents, yeah.
Yep. And this is where, like, we get a lot more in the third episode. You know, Oliver, Mark, they start training. They start battling. This is where we get the backstory of the Tether Tyrant, which we had to look up, and I think Magmaniac or something, the fire dude. We get the little background story of them, why they're doing what they're doing. They're broke. They didn't want to go to life or crime, but at some point they're like, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. And the cycle. Yeah, we see the cycle. Mm-hmm. It starts out, and then they try to fix their lives, and they try to do everything right, and it's sweet, and then rent goes up, and they lose their jobs, and yeah, and they make a decision, and then just get absolutely stomped by Invincible.
Mm-hmm. And Oliver, too, who shows up.
Yep.
And this whole episode is just like the kind of like the Robin Batman dynamic, you know, like, hey, you're too young. I don't want you to like do these things, but like Oliver is very much capable. Like he is already kind of invincible, so to speak. And it's just, it reminds me of the Batman Robin dynamic of Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne, where it's like Dick Grayson is very much a very capable Robin, and Bruce holds him back because he's a child. You know, both sides make sense. And then we get to the more serious part. And I really love the scene where the security guard is just staring at the wall. And they're just like, it happened right here. That's where they entered.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's creepy in here. Yeah. I always get a bad feeling. And the guy's like, oh, well, you know what they say about lightning. It's, you know, this is probably the safest spot in the whole building. Lightning doesn't strike twice, right?
But freaking, fuck, like, lightning does strike twice. Like, that's like what is it, misnomer? Myth. It's such, like, lightning actually strikes twice often in, like, the same place. The Empire State Building.
Empire State Building, yeah, it gets struck constantly.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously that one makes sense because it's the highest, one of the highest points in New York and was the highest point.
Lightning rod.
Yeah.
And, but still.
But, like, lightning does strike twice. Mm-hmm. And I love, like, the Mahler twins, they just, like, they show up and they're just like, oh man, American defenses try to always doing the cheapest rebuild as possible.
Yep. Yeah.
that also happens in the comic too. And I'm like, oh, as soon as she's like that wall, I'm like, oh, yep, I remember exactly what happens here.
What's about to happen?
So they go to steal the silo. They launch a missile. Oliver and Invincible show up. Invincible starts. And then Oliver shows up. Invincible stops the rocket, and Oliver is left to his own devices. He's left there, and
the Mahler twins. Yeah,
he fights the Mahler twins, and he doesn't just fight them and defeat them. He fucking slaughters them, and rip the Mahler twins. Rest in peace. I knew you were doing to disappear soon. I just forgot who destroyed you, and it was Oliver.
Yep. Yeah. Smashes the one's jaw, and then flies through the other one's chest.
Which is interesting because Mark can do that all the time, and he never does. He never chooses that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty messy. It's how Oliver was just red for the next few scenes.
Yep, yep.
And then he kills the other Mahler twin after he's trying to surrender. Takes his head right off.
They have a discussion like, hey, we don't kill. We don't ever kill. Like, this is like, no, no, no. And Oliver's just kind of like, why? Like, they're just going to come back. Like, why not just kill them? Like, it makes more sense to kill them. He's like, no, life is precious. He's like, why is it precious? Which makes sense for Oliver. Because, like,
yeah.
He comes from
a race. He's like, because.
He comes from a race where, like, their life is quick. People die like immediately. Like death is like not a thing that's like that precious to that culture. And he grew up partially in that culture. I don't know how much he remembers. I think in the comics he dives more into it and explains it. Whereas like in the show they haven't really explained it yet. But like he doesn't quite like it. Does he's not human.
Yeah, and Mark tries to explain to him. He's like, you know. Everyone has friends and family that love them, and that those are the people that you hurt when you do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, well, the Mahler twins, they didn't have any friends or family. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is why I love this comic so much, is because they just dive deep into these ethical dilemmas, and we're going to get that a lot this season, which is something that I talked about in the preview. We get that a lot. And it's, we got it with Cecil, we got it with Mark and Oliver, and we're going to keep getting more of it. Like, that's what the season's going to be about. Mm. All right. It's time for the segment, everyone's favorite. I have some questions. Dot, dot, dot.
Can I add something real quick?
Yes.
I saw something. Apparently, I've never read the comics. You have. But apparently they changed that scene. There was one thing different.
Ooh, what's
from
that?
The comics than in the, well, because in the scene or whatever, when Oliver and Mark are arguing, mm-hmm. Oliver says, or does Mark tell him that that's, so it says something about he's not his dad, or like not to be like their dad.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yep.
And then, and Oliver says, well, don't you ever think that maybe dad was right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the show, Mark doesn't say anything, but in the comics, I guess he says kind of under his breath sometimes. And that definitely changes things.
It does.
That line, adding that line in there, just showing the waveringness. Unsureness of Mark.
I actually, now that you're mentioning it, I vaguely remember him saying sometimes. I guess, like, in my head, it never took that moment of, like, you know, him, like, wavering, but not, like, understandably wavering. Like, if your dad, like, if you grow up and your dad's like, hey, this is what I mean, there is some validity in Omni-Man. Mm. And I think, like, him questioning that makes sense. So it's,
yep.
I'm curious that he didn't put it in the show, but I feel like in the show with general audiences, I think you have to have a little more black and white where this is would be confusing, but they don't do that with anything else. So I'm curious to why they left that out. But good job bringing that up.
Yeah, I saw a thing on the internet. That's nice. The only reason why I knew.
I think I've seen something similar, but I didn't read into it. Like, I saw the article or an article of it. All right. First question for I Have Some Questions. Mm-hmm. Robert Kirkman. Is every episode a banger? Has it been like a finale-esque episode so far for the first three?
I'd say like yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I get that vibes. Like, I mean, the first episode is with Doc Seismic, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, like that level event. And then it leads into the confrontation between Mark and Cecil,
mm-hmm.
which could definitely be like a season-ending kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the second episode, having like all the flashbacks and stuff, and kind of showing like the backstory of Cecil and everything, and then like the conclusion of their showdown or whatever, at least for the time being, also felt very season finale in some ways.
Well, like the Guardians and, split.
Yep. That too. And then even in the third episode, I mean, like with like the resolution of Oliver killing the Mahler twins. And we didn't even mention that he got his new outfit.
Oh, yes. Third episode. Actually, there's a couple costumes. Things I just realized I didn't mention. So we got the new costumes. Kid Omni-Man is here. You thought it was just O for Oliver, even though the O is exactly
which
like
is so stupid. Yeah, well, that's just stupid. Why would he be okay with him saying putting his real name on his superhero costume to begin with?
I don't know. In the comics,
why would he be?
In the comics, it was the same thing, and I'm just like, Art, are you okay?
Yeah, like, are you senile, old man?
I mean, I feel like that's the only, like, good answer is, like, he's not quite perfectly there. He didn't, like, quite question it. The other thing we didn't mention
is... put two and two together somehow.
Is the drone at the end.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The cliffhanger for the next episode.
The drone.
I forget, they showed... Did they show who was controlling it?
They did not show who it was. The voice should have confirmed it.
I can't remember.
It's the same voice as Angstrom Levy.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm just going to leave it as the ghost of Angstrom Levy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. The ghost of Angstrom Levy. He's there. I wasn't expecting it. Actually, before we get into some, I have some questions. I kind of want to, because we did do the first one. Let's finish the first question, and I want to get into... Was I correct? Was I right?
Okay.
I think you're right. I think it's yes or no. I think, like, episode one, episode two could have both been finales of sorts. Because if Doc Seismic was like the one of the main villains, what he was doing was finale-esque. Like, it was that big. Yep. It was that grand. The second episode, the fallout of all of that, very grand and episodic. Episode three is the one where I'm like, I don't think this would be a good...
It's definitely more on the edge.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think this is a good finale, but it's definitely a banger. Like, it's definitely like high, fast-paced episode, and it's just like, damn. Mm-hmm. Like, if this was a mid-season finale, like episode four, like, I'm like, that would fit. That'd fit that.
I mean, episode three, it's almost.
We're almost there. We're almost halfway through. Yeah. Shit, we're almost halfway through. Damn it.
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling.
You're right.
So let's get into Was I Right? New segment. So this is kind of what I predicted for the first three episodes. I predicted that it was going to be the fallout of killing Angstrom Levy. It was going to be Omni Boy. I wrote Omni Boy in there on purpose to become a hero. Mark growing ever insecure in the right path of a hero. Mark will face Powerplex and it will forever shape how he thinks. The Sequids could also be coming back during this. They will deal with Doc Seismic being powerful as ever. Cecil unleashes efforts that Mark disagrees with. Mark and Cecil have a disagreement, and that's where I thought it was going to end for the premiere of season three. So this is where I was wrong. There was no Sequoids. They didn't show up.
Yep.
I don't know if they showed
up. Powerplex.
No Powerplex yet. Rumor is it's episode six.
Okay. Okay.
Multipol was there. I don't know if I made. I know. I said that he's going to be in the episode in the season. Obviously, during the trailer, he was there. It didn't end with Cecil fight. That was the other big one too.
No,
I thought it was going to end there. It did not. There was other.
Yeah.
So
another episode afterwards.
Yeah, I was close. Close-ish. Yeah,
yeah. No, you're definitely close. Yeah. I feel like you just kind of guessed everything that you knew was going to happen next. I mean, you had to be right on some of it, right?
I figured I was going to be mostly right. But I'm happy I was somewhat surprised. I don't want to be completely correct. I'm going to be surprised. That's why I don't want to read.
You didn't guess there was going to be a Cecil background story.
I did not guess that. Nope, I did not. I also didn't guess the Guardians of the Globe split.
Would split up?
I should have.
I would have been kind of mad if you would have told me that, though.
Yeah?
That's more of a outright spoiler than some of the other stuff.
That's fair. That's fair. The Ghost of Angstrom Levy. I didn't guess that coming up in season or episode three. I thought that was going to be a little bit later.
Yeah.
I didn't. It makes sense.
I feel like you did say that there was a chance that it could happen right away, though.
Yeah. It might happen next episode. Might be the mid-season finale of sorts, kind of, since, I don't know.
I assume they're not going on a break after one more episode.
No, it's going straight. We have like 5 weeks of this.
Through the end. Okay, good.
Which I think is the smart thing, because Daredevil's coming up, and I think that's where a lot of like, the noise is going to be, is Daredevil. All right. Question number two. And I have some questions. Was Cecil or Mark right here?
That's a loaded question. A
little bit. Right. I mean, loadedness is like one of them has to be correct. But I think the question is either of them right here?
Yeah, I think that's more likely the answer. It's a bit of both. Because, I mean, you know, what Cecil is talking about is basically reform.
Yep.
You know, and that's, I guess, in my personal preference, I think that's kind of the way that we should go with most things.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of throwing them away and locking up the key. And especially if you're talking about people that have the potential to, you know, do good things, you know, give them the opportunity to do those things to make up for what they've done.
Yeah.
You know, like imagine somebody was working on the cure for cancer, you know, and then they did something bad. They killed somebody. Do we just give up on, you know, getting the cure for cancer that'll save, you know, millions of lives?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have to just let them go free and keep doing what they want to do, but, you know, I feel like there's some work around there.
You know,
and that's basically what Cecil's doing.
I 100% agree with Cecil mostly. Like, I think, like, from what his, like, philosophy is, I agree with him. Like, I think it reminds me of Andor. I know you haven't watched Andor, but it reminds me of, like, what Luther said. which is like, and I forget how beautifully phrased it was, but it's more or less the point was, it's all about like the rebels during, or in the rebellion during like the mid 20 years of the Empire being in charge. And he basically just like, I basically sold my soul and I did bad things in order for good things to happen. And I think that's kind of more or less Cecil's point. Like, yeah, these things are unethical. They're very gray. But if I don't do these things, and the whole thing is like, we can either be the good guys or we can save the world. And I think it's a good point. Like, hey, if you have to do bad things to save everybody else, is it not, does the ends not justify the means? And I think it's a very good philosophy question, because I think, I also think about from Mark's perspective too. He's had this moment with Darkwing, where Darkwing is killing people. He's the one who stopped him. He, the Reanimen, like, he was personally affected by this. His best friend was, his boyfriend was, like, very much affected by this.
Yeah.
So, like, for him, it's a very personal thing. So when he sees these things that he was personally affected by being used, and I think Mark has a good point. Like, this is very unethical. And Cecil was like, well, no, we need to reform. We can't just throw people away. Like, we have an upcoming battle here. We need everything. I think they're both right. But I also think they're both wrong in the fact that, like, one, Mark just blew up.
Yep.
It happened in the comics.
Definitely could have been a little bit more level-headed in that whole situation.
And he was not. Because it's like, you guys are dead. Like, you were done. You were all going to be dead. Maybe Mark didn't die. Maybe some of the heroes survived. But, like, everybody was going to be wiped.
A lot of people were going to be dead, yeah.
So, like, Cecil did what he had to do. He saved your ass. But then, like,
his job.
But also, Cecil, maybe you should have, like, let Mark know. Maybe you should be upright.
Yep. I think that's the part, you know? If maybe he would have been forthcoming with him to begin with about all this stuff. It had a conversation that way instead of letting him find out in such a heated moment.
And on top of the fact that, like, I don't know if you, like, recognize this, but, like, he also got stabbed with, like, the goo.
Yeah, poisoned. Yeah.
And so, like, I don't think they ever, like, mentioned, like, that's what affected him, but I'm like, there could have been something, too. Like, he got affected. He got stabbed. He's heated, but he's almost, like, more heated than usual. I also think Cecil, like, escalated. Like, yeah, Mark was very heated, but Cecil kind of sucked.
Very standoffish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much quick to just try to shut it down and not listen. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, you immediately led him into the White Room, which Mark is stupid as fuck. And I kind of, intelligence is his dumb stand. Like,
yep.
He gets led into this room and it's like, it's for my protection. And it's like, yeah, I understand why Cecil did that, but also at the same time, like, man, you kind of escalated.
He did. You absolutely escalated.
Like, it's like taunting. So, like, my job at a school is to help with, like, these kids who are tantruming. If you go in there and start yelling and start, like, you know.
Or threatening.
Having your authority.
Like, if you don't stop, then I'm going to do this. That never.
Rarely
gets
works.
People to calm down.
Rarely works. Yeah. You, like, unless you can scare them in the moment and they, like, you know, cower down, like, they're just going to ramp up. And, like, that's what happened with Ark here. He ramped up. So I think, like, the way I see it is, like, they're both at very valid points, very valid concerns. They both handled it poorly, which led to this huge blow-up moment that wasn't necessary. And that's how I felt in the comics, too. Not necessary. I'm like, feels a little forced. But, like, I love the philosophy that it comes from with it. All right, let's move on. Number three. Is Cecil a great antagonist?
I mean, he's very much like Nick Fury, right? Like that style, you know, does the bad things so the good guys can win.
Yep.
So I think in that sense, almost more of like an anti-hero.
Yeah.
In that sense. Because I don't think he's
antagonist.
He truly like wants. Yeah. I think he truly wants to like help people and like save the world is like his ultimate plan. But, you know, he's willing to get his hands dirty in order to do that.
Yeah. I think he's such a great antagonist. He's such a, there's a word for it, but I'm blanking. He's such a, like, he challenges Mark. And I think it's just such a good, like, challenge of philosophy. He's this authoritative voice. He's like the Thaddeus Ross, almost. Like, he's just that person in the government, this force that makes some really good, valid points, that does a lot of good for the world. But, like, at the same time, like, hey, if you're not with me, you're against me, and I'm gonna fuck your shit up. All right, Adam, Eve, and Mark. We didn't talk a whole lot about their dating. They are officially together. We had this whole scene where, you know, Mark tried to ask her out, and then he kind of, like, fessed up, like, his reasoning for doing so, which just, Mark was not in the right, like, he should have not started this relationship. He, like, wasn't ready for it, and I think he was right to stay away, but they start. Does Adam even Mark feel right?
I mean, it's not, like, wrong, but they don't have, like, I don't know, haven't had a lot of moments. There's something weird. Doesn't quite click.
I love the relationship in the comics. So, like, for those who've read the comics, I'm not criticizing their relationship, because I think towards, like, episode 3, we got some really good moments between the two, and, like, moments that, like, this is why I really love this relationship. However, the beginning just felt so wrong. It felt so rushed. Rex just being like, hey, you should date her. And him, like, coming there and being all awkward. He's like,
just kind of, like, decide, just like, okay,
we're just going to date her. And, like, it makes, like, everybody's like, makes sense. But everyone, it just seems like the plot's like, hey, you should date now. Hey, you guys are single now. No one's in your way. It makes so much sense. And then just be like, yeah, it makes sense. We're going to date now.
Instead of just kind of happening naturally,
Yeah.
Especially with, like, getting the ultimatum from the beginning, or from his time in the other dimension or whatever.
But what did I tell you before we started this? I really love how this show is so faithful to the comics, for good or for worse. I like that it's this faithful, because in the comics, that's more or less they just started. But as a reader over, like, 50 issues, you're like, okay, just fuck already. Like, just date. Like, do the thing. It's like Community season 1.
Don't Britta go through the whole will they.
Britta, Jeff, again, just have sex. Yes, I'm using that reference specifically because it's the same actress. But, like, that's more or less, like, how it is. It's just like, okay, like, yeah, they should just be dating. But by episode 3, I feel like it makes sense, because I really enjoy just Adam, Eve, and, like, Mark. They just, it seems like they click. How are we feeling about Omni Boy?
It's an interesting wrench thrown in the works. And he's growing on me, I suppose. But it reminds me very much of, like, I know we talked about Dick Grayson Robin, but there's a lot of more Damian Wayne vibes.
Yep. It's a good blend between the two. We have Dick Grayson, just in the sense of, like, hey, let me do some stuff. But we have, like, the Damian Wayne problem too. Like, yeah, I don't care if we kill people. Like, it just seems like more logical.
We're better than everyone else, kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if I ever feel like Oliver's better, but, like, he's not a human. So it's a sense of, like, superiority, where Mark, like, he never had his powers until he was 18. He knew what it liked to be a kid. Oliver doesn't.
Yep. He lived that human life for 17 years or whatever.
And Oliver has not. He also really loves his dad. He knows the good version of his dad.
Yeah.
Mark knows that too, but Mark also got the betrayal of his dad.
Right.
I don't know.
Brutally.
I will say, for, like, in the comics, when I, like, read the first story, I was like, ooh, this could be bad. This could be good. It could be bad. So I'm curious, like, how you're feeling. Like, where do you think this ends up?
He's growing on me a little bit. I assume that he's probably going to lean towards the right side. I don't see them making him into, like, a full-on villain, but that would be really interesting if by the end of it he's entirely on the other side.
I will say, in the comics, that was the theory. That is the theory for the longest time. obviously the comic books end and the story it goes where it goes. But it was like, I started reading the comics like right towards the end, and that was like one of the main theories was.
Okay.
Aren't we sad about the Mahler twins? Rest in peace.
A little bit. I like the Mahler twins.
They're so good for villains. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the show is just like, here's an extra copy that shows up later on. But in the comics, this was the end.
This is the end.
Which I think is fine, because there is.
It adds to it. Like, if they live and there's another clone, then it's like not such a big deal that he killed them. Mm-hmm. But if he actually, like, if they're gone, then it is like, then he did actually kill them.
Yeah, they're done. And like, they're such a... Should they be killed if they're going to constantly break out and do things like this? It's like,
yep,
maybe they
were.
Should.
Yeah, they were the ones in that cycle. It seemed like that were getting out constantly, and going back in and getting out and going back.
Damian
in.
Damian Wayne Joker. Why don't we just kill him? Or Jason Todd Joker? I feel like maybe that's more fitting. But yeah,
yeah.
Did you realize the Darkwing Invincible conflict, like the comic book counterpoints to it?
Like Batman Superman?
Yeah. I just kind of had that realization. Like, this is kind of like Superman Batman arguing over the philosophy of how to handle heroes. Because Superman's very like, we have this like Boy Scout of Justice, where Batman's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes besides killing people, besides the one rule. Right. And then we have Darkwing 2, which is, again, like Damian Wayne Robin. Like, we're just going to murder people. These people are bad. Let's murder them. But I think it's so weird, because it's like Darkwing is about killing. Invincible's not about killing. But like Darkwing kills, marks against reform.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting, like Cecil reforms Darkwing, who's like, oh yeah, this is bad. We shouldn't kill people anymore. I've learned from my ways because now I'm being reformed. Mm-hmm. But Invincible's against it. I'm like, this is such a weird, like it's very layered.
Yeah,
it's
messy.
That's what I'm saying.
It's very strange to be like the good guy and against reform, because that feels like that's the good thing to do.
But Mark is young; he's dumb.
Yes, that's
he's
a big
kid.
Thing.
He's growing.
You know, when you're younger, you're like, death penalty, kill him, get rid of it. And then once you get a little bit older, you start to realize that there's a lot more nuance in that.
Yeah, like. These people still have potential. They just went down the wrong path. Like, should we kill them or should we use their gifts for good if they're willing to change? It's, but I do just want to know, like, Mark is young. He is still, like, year two, year three into his superhero career, which is why I fucking love Invincible, because, like, this isn't something that goes away. This talk is, like, going to be the entire show. Like, after the whole thing with his dad, this is what kind of takes its place. And it's very exciting in that it... Because, like, Mark grows. He also goes backwards. Like, it's very up and down.
Yeah.
And there's, like, one particular arc, one particular villain that he meets that, it like, captures this completely. I don't think we will see them until season 5, maybe season 4. I forget exactly when in the comics. It's towards the end. But I'm excited for them. They are very ridiculous. Very, very ridiculous. Okay. Invincible or Guardian split? Is it worthy of a split since the damning of the world is coming?
I mean, especially considering what like the Guardians saw of that situation. And not knowing, like, the context.
Yeah.
And even then, I mean, it's hard to excuse what Cecil did.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't blame them. Mm-mm. They were all kind of half in to begin with anyways. I always felt like the Guardians team was never really, like, it was never the Justice League, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe the first team.
Not since, well, yeah, the first iteration, but not since, you know, they all died.
Mm. They're very, like, I feel like they always felt expendable.
Yeah.
And since they always felt expendable, they were never, like, trusting of Cecil. And they really did, like, Mark earned their trust. So when you have Cecil versus Mark, it's weird how, like, half of them are like, I trust Mark over this. And then you have, like, the other four, you have Immortal, who doesn't trust Mark. So, of course, he's on Cecil's side. Multi-Kate likes Mark, but like is going to go with Immortal.
Getting married.
Exactly. Yeah. Engaged. That's another plot point we haven't mentioned so much in this show. Shavesmith is like, well, he pays my. I love Shavesmith. Just the random. Like, now I say something.
Yeah.
But I like his remark here. He's like, well, he pays my checks and he gives me a cool race car bed. So.
Yeah. And he didn't kill me when I.
Yeah.
When I got here. So.
I
think I'm sticking with Cecil.
Like, I'm like, it's fair. He doesn't know Mark. He doesn't know anything to Mark. And then Black Samson, who's like, I don't feel good about this, but like, I need, like, this is my place.
Yeah, well, he says too that he can't change things from the outside.
Yep. So. Good point. Which I think is good. Like, hey, I can't do anything if I leave. It makes sense. I get it. But it's also kind of like, Cecil's like the best chance this world has if Mark fails.
Yep.
So like them splitting is just.
He might even be a better chance than Mark, honestly. In a lot
maybe. And it's just like, it's almost terrifying because I'm like, the Guardians, I don't think they have the larger world in grasp. But Rex does. But Rex doesn't choose the larger world. He chooses Amanda. He chooses Monster Girl. That's where he wants to be, is with her. And it's like just something admirable about that. Like, he's becoming very human.
You meant Rudy, right? Not Rex.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I was a little confused at first, so then I realized, oh no.
Well, let's just say it makes sense later on why I got that mixed up. Anyway.
Yeah, well, they did. I assume something is going to go down because the future versions of them, it wasn't Robot in the robot suit. It was Rex. So
it was.
I assume something is going to happen.
You're right. It is. It was Rex.
Is Robot and Rex? Do they like become the same person?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
You know, you're like my wife. She's like, tell me all the spoilers. I'm like, do you want me to spoil everything?
No. I didn't want to know.
Oh yeah, I did tell her. I told her like one of the big plot points is coming up, and I'm like, just so you know, this happens. Like, if you want the spoiler, like, hey, this thing happens, and she's just like. No, I'm like, yeah, you asked for it. You asked for it, and if it's going to happen, it might, yeah. So, two more questions.
Okay.
How are we feeling with Amber having a moment?
Amber having a moment? Like,
she comes back, talks with Eve, okay with Eve and Mark dating.
Yeah, I mean, that was nice, just to kind of resolve that situation completely.
I don't get the hate for Amber. I really don't.
I don't hate her. Yeah, I hate her.
I get like, I know everyone's like mad at like what she said, and I think she was poorly written in that moment, whereas like, I already knew you were a hero. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense, because if it makes sense, like if you knew, this is pretty toxic. But I'm also like, she's like what, 17, 18? Like, I don't expect her to be that emotional, like, be stable. Like, I don't expect her to handle this well. I don't expect her to be, like, completely green flag, like, non-toxic, like, and, like, it seems like Amber understands Mark now, season two, season three, and their split up makes sense. Like, he's gone months at a time. She lives a world that he has no part of. He doesn't know what college life is like, and she has no idea what superhero life is like. So it's one of those, like, it makes sense. They should have never been a couple to begin with. They were. It seems like she's doing good. Mark, on the other hand, he's got some anger issues to work out.
Just a little bit.
All right, last question. The ghost of Angstrom is back? Question mark?
I mean, the assumption would be that it's another version of him that may or may not have the same powers that he had. Not necessarily. I mean, it could just be one of the copies that he had gathered that somehow managed to survive the explosion or was not in that exact moment and now just wants revenge for what happened to his counterpart.
All I'm going to say is revenge. I don't know if it's going to be sweet, but it's going to be fucking brutal. Like, not okay. Just, it's going to be brutal. That's the word I'm going to use. and I didn't know if they're going to go with this, and I feel like it's going to happen. It's going to happen in one episode, and it's going to be the most fucking brutal thing you've ever seen, at least in this show.
Okay.
And that's a high bar. I'm here for it. It's a high bar.
I'm here for it.
Oh, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. It's brutal. Okay, last couple things. Jonathan Banks, this is like another question I added, but I'm like, this is kind of the future questions. Kirkman just made a comment about how Jonathan Banks might not be Conquest. Like, he can't confirm or deny if he's going to be Conquest, the villain, for season 3. And I'm like, everything says he is. Every, like, rumor says that he is going to be Conquest. Is Kirkman being coy here, or what the fuck's going on?
Could just be trolling.
I think so. Feels like he's just being coy. All right. Let's do ratings. And we'll wrap this up with best villain, NBC, and leave it at that. You want to go first with ratings or no?
I'll go first.
Okay.
For each individual episode or all three
together?
Let's
do all three together.
Okay. Well, I think I predicted like a 4+, and I think that's probably about what I'd give it.
Yep.
I think it was very good.
I wrote 4-ish. I think it's really good. I think it matches season 1. I think it matches season 2. I think it's a 4-ish territory. I don't know where to give it yet. I think it's really intense. I love how faithful it is to the comics. I really enjoy all the dynamics. I enjoy like how the tone is all over the place. Because like this show is, I know some people are like, oh, the tone's all over the place. It's like, well, yeah, it's kind of like, it kind of gives you a lot of different things. It gives you seriousness. It gives you jokes. It gives you,
I mean, that's kind of real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like real life doesn't have just like one set tone.
Yeah.
You know?
To me, it feels authentic, feels organic. It feels fresh in that sense too. Like, it's not just somber. It's not just, it's not The Boys where it's like, ooh, this is just grim the entire time. It's a mixture of all different things, you know? And I feel like for where the story goes, the tone fits. It's just, in the grand scheme of things, it's like, it's a lot, it does fluctuate. But that's, like, it's like Infinity War in that sense. People complain about the tone. Like, it's all over the place. I'm like, no, the tone matches the characters in those scenes. It matches the story. But I do have some criticism, and this is why one of the reasons why this is actually like my least favorite run in the comics is this stretch of episodes or the stretch of issues. Season 2 is also another stretch that I'm kind of like, it's not as fast paced, whereas this stretch is so fast paced, it's so quick that so much happens in like singular issues, singular episodes now, then I'm like, holy fuck, this, like, what he says about like each episode being a banger, I'm like, or every episode is like a finale, I'm like, yeah, it is. Like every episode, really, you could stretch out those episodes to sip. Like you could One Piece this very easily.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
And like one is, it's like the opposite of One Piece. It's like, hey, we're just gonna get right into it. We're gonna get right into the fights. In episode 1, it's like, oh, we're immediately, the crack between Cecil and Mark is going to happen immediately. Doc Sizer, it's going to immediately be this threat and take all of them out. Adam, Eve, and Mark, they're now dating. It's immediately happening. Oliver is immediately this superhero.
He's got superpowers. Now he killed somebody. Killed two people.
It's so quick. It's like, I need, where I can't give it a 5 is, one, the animation isn't like 5 material. 4 material, yes. It's not 5 material. If this was One Piece, like later One Piece, I'd be like, damn. If this was Across the Spider-Verse into the Spider-Verse, like, damn. The animation isn't, like, elite. It's good.
Yeah, it's never had. It's good, and it fits because it looks very similar to, like, the comics, I feel like, in, like, the style. But it's definitely not, like, the prettiest art style. It never has been.
I hope they One Piece it and upgrade it later on. Like, I hope these fights get a little bit better animation-wise. Yeah. That being said, I don't need it to be, like, elite animation. I'm okay with good to great animation. But I think that is something that, like, it does hold it back a little bit, at least from getting, like, that 5. But, yeah, My biggest thing is it's almost too quick. It needs a little bit of marination. But it is like the comics. This is the run in the comics. It is so quick. The one thing I keep like teasing with the Ghost of Angstrom Levy when it comes back, it happens in an issue. It happens like so much happens in like one to two issues. And in the comics, so much happens in this run, I forget what happened.
Okay.
Like, I forgot the Mahler twins got killed by Kid Omni-Man. I forgot that. Because, like, so much happens in this stretch.
Just back to back to back.
Whereas, like, I feel like the next couple seasons, we're going to more focus in on a couple villains. And they're going to be, like, the main story. Whereas, like, this run is, like, we're going to throw a shit ton at you. We're going to wrap up the villain of the week vibe. And then we're going to get into the bigger stuff. So that's where my criticism is. It's just so quick. It's almost too quick.
Yeah.
But it's not terrible. It doesn't undermine itself, if that makes sense. I just feel like...
Definitely could have been played out a little bit more. But at the same time, I'm also like, we get 8 episodes in a season, and I'd like to see the end of the show at some point.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm okay with things moving a little fast once in a while just to keep things...
It does keep it. It keeps it fresh in that sense too. It doesn't slow down. It isn't like One Piece where it's like, God damn it, can you just finish the fucking fight already? Is there really 30 more episodes of the same exact fight? It's like, and like One Piece does it. One Piece does it for a reason, and I think like that reason is simply like it's a journey. It
builds up the grandeur. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, when they fight for like 30 episodes, all of a sudden when it's over, it's like, wow.
You feel what the characters feel. You feel it. Whereas like Invincible is like, oh shit, what the fuck just happened? Like, goddamn. All right. So I'm at 4-ish. I think 4+ is fair. I think I can say 4+. I'm going to say 4-ish, 4+. Yeah. Who's MVC in these first 3 episodes? Who is the most valuable character?
Well, I almost feel like the person that we spent the most time with was Cecil, besides Mark.
I put him...
Getting some of his background and stuff there, I think, helps flush him out, especially seeing like how he kind of got to be where he is today.
Yeah.
I think it makes you understand him a little bit more.
I put him 3rd, but I did this really quickly, and like, as you just said, Cecil, I'm just like, yeah, I changed my mind. I think Cecil has to be 1. Mark's 2.
Yep.
And I think it's really between those two.
Yeah. No one else had, like, a lot of time to do anything.
Adam Eve is 3rd, and Oliver is 4th. I think Adam Eve...
I could almost switch those.
Maybe. I think Adam Eve is, like, the last episode, I'm just like, yep, damn. Like, I'm liking this character right now. But I think the argument for Oliver being 3rd makes sense. Maybe confirmation bias on my end.
Yeah.
Because I did predict Adam Eve's going to be 1. but yeah, I think Cecil's a good 1 for the first 3 episodes. Rexplode, though. Gotta give him a shout out. He's definitely grown.
He's still on that redemption. Yeah, he's still on that journey. Still learning.
Oh, I love the joke. The very first episode. It's like, hey, I want to complain about my metal arm. I'm trying to flick you off right now, and I can't. It's my favorite. It's my favorite finger, Cecil. Cecil, it's his favorite finger. It's my favorite finger. I'm like, I don't know why I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, and I love how Rex is just like, he like will just say some shit like, God fucking damn. Wait, nope, that's the old me.
Yeah.
And like makes a slight adjustment.
Yeah. Just a little bit better. He's not looking to be a saint, but you know. Just take that edge off.
It's like I'm trying to be a good person, but I'm not gonna be super good. Alright, best
I'm not a Boy Scout.
Best villains. Cecil's gotta be 1, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Antagonist. Villain, yes.
Yeah.
I have Doc Seismic as 2.
I mean, he's really the only other villain that I guess the Mahler twins, they do actually launch a nuke. But
they're 4. Threat. I have the Ghost of Angstrom Levy is 3. I feel like him being there
it wasn't even it was like a it was the post credit scene on the 3rd episode.
I don't care. I know what's coming. That'd be, I mean, I feel like the Mahler twins, they didn't go out with a big bang. They were kind of cut short.
I think
short.
That was kind of the point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the point. Is that, like, you know, it was just so abrupt. And like, oh, well, now they're dead. And that's just, I guess that's death for you.
I guess.
It's a permanent ending, you know.
Okay, I'll take the Ghost of Angstrom off. We'll do Mahler Twins 3. Multipole is 4. And I have Tether Tyrant and Meg Maniac is 5. Just because I think
there's an argument that they could be a little bit higher up, just getting, like, with their backstory and kind of understanding it, even though obviously they never really posed a threat or anything like that. But, you know, still, like, their story is interesting. Kind of gave the Last of Us vibes.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I like Tether Tyrant. I do remember him in the comic. I do remember him having, like, a sadder story, and I think he does have a bigger story to play later on, but I don't quite... Yeah, it's definitely there. Mm. I like just Last of Us vibes, episode 3, I'm guessing.
I've never watched it, but I know of...
Yeah.
Kind of like it takes a detour, shows you, like, a slice of life a little bit for a little while from the storyline, and then kind of ties it all back into everything.
That would be a good episode for, like, a spinoff, like an Adam Eve special type of story. Mm. I don't think they did so in the comics. I think it was just, like, they had the story in the mainline comics, but it'd be interesting. I put Furnace at 7. He shows up.
Yeah, he's there.
All right.
He almost should have put those other two from the future higher than him.
Oh, yeah.
Dropkick and whatever. They actually,
the normal dudes
stole the Declaration of Independence. Yeah.
Thanks to Multipole.
Yeah.
I guess Titan also deserves to be in here, too, because he shows up. He's, you know, he had a scene.
Yeah. Oh, and that weird Japanese guy that I assume it must be pretty powerful. They kind of talk about some sort of criminal enterprise that runs the world that we haven't really heard heads or tails of yet. So
yeah,
that could feed into something.
Maybe. We'll see.
Or local threats.
Local threats in a global threat world.
Yeah.
Universal threat world.
Yeah. Yeah. Universal.
All right. How excited are we for... Ooh, we didn't play the game. Last little game. Last little segment.
Cool.
I think this is a good last segment to end on.
Okay, what do you got?
Let's pay too much attention to episode titles. Coming up, episode 4, You Were My Hero. Who does that?
Interesting.
Okay, all right, let's go through the episode titles already. You're Not Laughing Now, Doc Seismic reference.
Yep.
A Deal with the Devil, which is probably Cecil.
It's Cecil, yeah.
Cecil Mark. You want a real costume, right? Oliver and...
Yeah, costume.
Also,
yeah.
How do we like the new costumes? How do you like the blue and...
I get why he wanted, like, a change, but at the same time, I'm not really sold that it was necessary.
I love his original costume so much more.
Yeah, like, I do. I was going to say that. It's brighter. It's more colorful. I like the yellow.
I'm so much more of a fan of his yellow costume than I am his blue. So, like, when they made the costume change in the comic and reading it, I'm just like, oh, it's a downgrade. Like, I like blue and I like blue and black as a color combination, but it's not, like, a pretty color combination.
Yeah, it doesn't pop, you know. It's just more muted.
But it is. It does represent his darker
side. It fits
the
vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it fits the vibe. And
Invincible Boy.
You know, the struggles that are to come.
That's why I think. Invincible Boy. That's probably why I keep thinking Omni Boy. Because they joke.
He's Invincible Boy.
It's Invincible Boy. He's not that strong, is he? It's like, oh, nope. He's a lot. I don't know why they're like, oh, it's Invincible Boy. I'm like, he looks exactly like Invincible. Like, it's just
a different color.
It's just like.
He's not a boy at
do
all.
Do they not upgrade costumes?
Definitely, like, the stature of a man. Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. There's a couple, like, scenes throughout, too, where they showed him, like, just, like, standing and stuff like that. And he is definitely much more imposing now than he used to be.
Yeah, he's
just, like...
It's serious.
He's ripped. He seems taller. And just the way he, like, carries himself now, too. You know, much more confident. Like, when he's flying around and stuff, it's, like, more like Omni-Man.
Ooh.
With, like, his...
Yeah.
You know, posture and everything.
He's confident. He knows he can...
Yep.
He's like more or less holding back. He's very Spider-Man in that regard too. He's holding himself back. He knows what he can do. He knows that the damage he can do, and he knows the good he can do. I just want to make this one comment before we move on to this segment and then end the show. I really, really like the voice acting this season. I'm noticing that these voice actors are going to levels that are just like deeper than before. I'm noticing that with Steven Yeun, Invincible, Mark Walter, his Cecil, Mark. Like when they,
Walter Goggins.
Yeah, like when they're like into the arguing, like their voices when they're like shouting, like you can tell how the character is feeling just by them changing the voice. And I'm like, we're getting like the best of these actors.
Yep.
And then even I forget the actress who plays Adam Eve. I forget her name.
Oh, I just had it in my head.
I'm bad with names.
From Community. Yes. Yeah, I just had it in my head too, and then you said that, and now
Britta Zabi.
Jillian Jacobs.
Yes. I should not forget that name because, you know, Jacob, you know.
Yeah. Come on, Jake.
But Jillian Jacobs, like, even her, like, performance as Adam Eve is, like, a lot more layered, a lot more depth.
Mm.
And just, like, the conversations she's having with Mark, the in-depth, relationship conversations, especially in episode 3, I'm just like, ooh, we're getting some really great shit from these people. And I didn't think that the first season, or even the first couple seasons, especially from Gillian Jacobs. I was very, I enjoy her as an actress, I enjoy her as Britta, but I'm like, I always question if she had the gravitas, if she could get down into the, like, could she get... play the emotional depth that Adam Eve is going to need later on. And after episode 3, after these first 3 episodes, oh yeah, she's got it. Like, she's... I have faith now. Like, I've seen it, I've heard it. So, but yeah, voice acting, I just want to mention it. I'm pretty proud of, like, a lot of these actresses. They're actors and actresses are doing pretty good. All right, let's play the game. You Were My Hero. Who does that leave off?
Well, considering we just got that scene for Angstrom Levy, although, see, I could see that, like, You Were My Hero for, like, the Angstrom that was from the main universe, right? But the whole point was that in, like, every other dimension, Invincible's a bad guy. So he wouldn't be his hero.
I have a feeling the episode I keep teasing is happening next week.
Yeah. You think so?
I think this... I have a feeling this teases Angstrom. I have a feeling that it does. I don't know if it does, because it could be Oliver as well.
Okay.
It could be also Oliver. It could be another story, too. Maybe it's a Titan, where, like, his daughter... sees what is happening with Titan.
What he's doing, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's interesting. It's a good title. I'm curious where it goes. I think it goes to the big story, especially after now Angstrom just got teased. I think it goes to where I think it goes. We are not ready for it, by the way. I'm just saying, like, if it is what it is.
Yeah, we'll find out on Thursday.
A lot of crying is going to happen. That's all I'm going to say. This was supposed to be easy, is episode 5. I'm curious what this is supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know specifics, but it seems like, you know, maybe more than you bargained for kind of thing.
Maybe it's Mark...
somebody.
Mark wanting powers.
Or a villain that somebody underestimated. I guess that kind of was already happened with Doc Seismic. You know, where he's like, you know, you're supposed to be one of the weak ones.
Okay, so number 6. I think I know exactly what number 6 is, especially with the teaser that we talked about. All I can say is I'm sorry. If this is the Powerplex episode, makes total fucking sense. That's all I'm going to leave it at. Number 7 is What Have I Done?
Oh, God. Okay.
Which could be many, many things, but here's the thing.
Doesn't sound good.
If it is based off Powerplex episode 6, episode 7 makes complete perfect sense. What have I done?
Okay.
Number 8, I thought you'd never shut up. That's the season finale.
Thought you'd never shut up. Interesting.
Which means I think we've been talking about Conquest, we've been talking about Throg. I think that's where they show up.
Okay.
Which I think that's what it's referencing. Conquest is coming.
Hmm.
He is coming.
I mean, they teased him last season, so they said he was coming.
I assume it's episode 8.
Right at the end.
I thought you'd never shut up. All right. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I'm ready for Thursday.
I am ready for Thursday, too. All right. Thank you, Brandon. We will, yeah.
Yes.
Next week, Thursday. I'm going to do also just for the viewers. I just want to say this a little bit. We will continue to do Invincible every single week. If Brandon's not here, I'm definitely going to review it every single week. Next episode or next week too, Super Bowls this week. We will be talking and doing my annual NFL stoplight quarterback with Ernie. We are doing that next week as well, kind of going over the Super Bowl, Kendrick Lamar's performance, all the ads, all the trailers. So, double episode next week. All right. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
This is your host, Jake Sherping, signing off.